Blog Talk Radio.
Found what I needed, nothing more, just what I needed. The pure heart of a baby that I came to full and whole. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. I was a dead man, I was a dead man. I was a thief, knocked me out. Not for a minute, I was a stranger in a foreign land. Oh, till I met the Lord, and I wanna say it again, say, I was a dead man.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. And you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Well, you just heard Cody Chesnutt from his new album, Landing on 100. Wow, I love this man's voice. He had his first album, The Headphone Masterpiece. And you might have heard some of his work blended with The Roots on their album. But Landing on 100 is his second full-length LP. It marks his return to the music game after a period of being a family man, retreat, and reflection. I'll be giving away some copies of this, so please follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. Cody's across the pond. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your listeners.
Thank you so much. We had tried to connect in the past, but maybe this was the right day and time for us to connect. So thank you. Thank you. And thank the universe for making it happen.
Indeed. Thank you for the opportunity.
So you've been hanging in there. You've been doing music for quite a while. I mean, it's been, what, almost 10 years since your last album?
Yes. Are you speaking of the amount of time I've been doing music all my life or just the last phase of my career?
This last phase from the Headphone Masterpiece until this current album.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's been a little over 10 years.
So why now? Why now did you think you needed to come out with something?
Just the timing felt right in terms of the content, my spirit, my sense of focus, and just the current social landscape. It all seemed to come together perfectly for me, and it wasn't planned, but it felt timely for me. You know, I wanted to bring something back that I felt was, you know, really relevant and reflected a mature state of mind in a climate right now that seemed to be a bit immature and meaningless, in my opinion, in a lot of ways.
Well, you speak a lot of about God and spirituality on this song. How has God or religion changed your outlook on life? Was it different 10 years ago than it is now? Because to me, the albums are like, wow, so different.
Yeah, absolutely. In each belief system, you know, you have certain core principles, and I really tried to give myself, you know, to the faith as much as I could and really try to get a better understanding of it, you know, not just what I was told as a child, but I really tried to embrace it and put a bit more study and time into it. And as I did, I began to really look at, you know, my body of work and the tone of it, what I was projecting in terms of content. And so I wanted to be serious about what I was studying. So it definitely gave me a clearer mind and a clearer heart and clearer spirit. And I wanted the music to reflect that.
Well, I think it does. I mean, we were talking about a different time and the timing. Let's talk about this song. I'm going to play it first. What kind of cool will we think of? And we'll talk about that after it plays.
Okay.
Know how to front, know how to hustle, know how to boost to get dressed and fake it till we make it look. But what we don't know is that ain't going to be enough now. Well, what kind of cool they can make? What kind of cool they can make? What kind of
What kind of cool will we think of next to hide behind?
Wow, so many things come to my mind, but something that didn't come to my mind before, but just now, e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You know, we have regular cigarettes. They found out regular cigarettes are killing us. Now they're coming out with these electronic cigarettes, and I just saw an interview with, like, this guy who's the founder of, like, the largest e-cigarette distributor, and I was like, devil incarnate. Like, talk to me, Cody. I mean, I don't know, but what kind of cool, you know?
No, for real, but it's that kind of stuff that, you know, that inspired that song. Like, you know, we keep coming up with these, you know, pseudo solutions and, you know, and coloring is cool, instead of just getting to the real point of whatever it is we're trying to find a solution for, you know, but we find something else to hide behind instead of just really getting to the point of the matter. And as you can tell, it was a lot of social commentary in that song, and I was specifically talking about a lot of things, you know, we deal with in the urban community and how, you know, we come up with fad and trend after trend, but for some reason it never really moves us forward, you know, socially and politically and spiritually as if, you know, as much as we would want it to. You know, we have a...
It's a distraction. I mean, it's a distraction. I think it's a numbing. It's a numbing. We're numbing ourselves because a lot of us are in pain, either physically from health conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, especially in the African-American community, or being in pain because of abandonment or drugs, or even if you didn't do drugs, but people around you. We got HIV, we got, you know, just all these things that we're trying to pull ourselves up, but we're not really getting to the root, like you said. Until you get to the root, until you dig out the dirt, it's not going to get clean, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And we just come up with something else to cover it up, something else that... That's you know, quote unquote, you know, appealing and hot or trendy. So, I wanted to touch on that with that song.
Definitely, you hit the nail on the head. Let's play "Under a Spell of a Handout," and we'll talk about that.
Thank you.
Walking on a path of perdition, I see the smokestacks in my periphery. I've been over time spewing the residue of the working class's faith in democracy. Church house, children on that bank note, attracting folk, give me some money, Lord. Three-piece snack is riding on a 3-minute song with that horse hat. Selling out for the subwoofer, but bumping hot spot. I'm hungry for freedom, but I don't know how to eat that cake because I'm.
I'm hungry for freedom. That just resonates to me out of there. What are you hungry for now, Cody? I mean, what are you reaching for? What are you trying to grab at and not waiting for somebody to give you?
First and foremost, my peace of mind. I think that's the most important thing. Let's just start there. And just my own reality. You know, I think that's really what we're dealing with in a lot of ways. And I wanted to speak about that on that particular song. You know, all around the world, you have people that are waking up. You know, they have a new sense of consciousness, and they're not depending on any government or anybody else to hand them their station in life. And that's what I wanted to bring to light with that particular song. You know, we keep waiting for people to hand us our happiness, our peace of mind, you know, our liberty, our freedom, whatever the case may be, you know, when in fact it's just really about just claiming it and defining it, you know, as you see it.
Mm-hmm. And so you talk about religion helping you. What other things are you doing, like in terms of maybe exercise or the way you eat, or are there other things that you're doing you think that help bring you peace?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely try to be conscious of my diet. Very conscious of just, you know, what I allow in my life. You know, I really try to maintain a peaceful organization, you know, even within my family, to keep things, you know, as less stressful as possible. And not that I don't have those same challenges, but I really make an effort to do that. So so I can just stay, you know, healthy overall, mind, body, and spirit, not just, you know, talking about these kind of things in circles where people like to kind of, where we tend to turn, you know, toss these things back and forth about, you know, being health conscious, but really trying to really commit to it and do it. So, yeah, those are some of the things. And I, even myself, I could be much better at it, but I really try to make an effort, especially being out on the road.
Definitely. Well, being on the road is tough. I mean, like, even now I know you're a little tired, probably fatigued from touring. So that's tough.
Sure.
Let's just go back a minute. I want to play, this is Looks Good and Leather from the other album, just to give people comparison about where you were and where you are now.
Sure.
I can make any woman mine because I look good in leather. I can rock her body so good it blows her mind because I know how to fuck her better. To be just like me, yeah. Woo, shit. Motherfucker, I'm cool with attitude and ego to spare.
Well, I'm scared of you. Looking good in leather. You still wearing leather?
Leather boots.
Leather boots, okay. So
yeah.
What is that? When you hear your old music, what do you think? There's good stuff in there too. It's some awesome medley on that other album. I mean, you have what, like almost 30 songs? How many songs did you have in that other album? You had a lot of music on there.
There were 36 pieces. You know, 30, I like to call them pieces because it was one big puzzle really of life at that point in time for me. So it was like 36 different pieces.
Mhm. And more focused. I mean, to me, it seems you're more focused, and like even in your tone of your voice, the way you're talking, there's a peace. I feel that through you. Do you think there was a lot of confusion, chaos before?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And when you asked me earlier, what do I think when I listen back to that that body of work? That's exactly, you know, that's how I see it. You know, that period of my life it was very chaotic. You know, really trying to navigate through a lot of different things. You know, I was living out in L.A. and really immersed in, you know, the music scene, the rock and roll lifestyle, so to speak. So it was really a soundtrack to, you know, the kind of reckless behavior and, you know, immature approach to, you know, relationships and different things. But I still respect that body of work because it was one of the most honest things I ever documented, and it really set me up for the growth period that produced Landing on 100.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you're some of your influences. Talk to me about who you were listening to, you know, when you were younger, Stevie Wonder, or who influenced you the most.
Well, you know, I grew up on all the great soul classics, and you know, some of the great jazz classics as well.
Mm-hmm.
But being a child of the 70s, you know, I got all that rich soul music from Motown coming out of the 60s and all the great stuff that Stevie produced in the 70s and the Jacksons. Like all the other black kids, you know, Michael Jackson
mm-hmm.
was a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So he was the one that really turned the light on me, turned the light on for me first with Off the Wall. You know, that just blew me out the water, and that just really opened up a whole new world for me. But it was songs in the key of life, in terms of, you know, writing, that really shaped my consciousness as a child in terms of what could be said in records. I had to grow into being able to think that way myself, you know, later in life.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point in my childhood, I realized that there was, you know, serious subject matter to be addressed, and you could do it in a beautiful and accessible way. So, you know, Stevie Wonder was a huge influence. And then I later grew into what Marvin Gaye was doing, you know, all of the, you know, the great, more sensual songs, you know, those were
cool, right.
But What's Going On, you know, was another education for me as well. As I grew older in my songwriting and understanding how you can have poignant, you know, commentary, but at the same time, you know, make it really beautiful and not too complicated.
I heard these songs, but when I first heard them, you know, you're listening to the music and you're going with the rhythm, but you have to listen to them more than once sometimes to get that message. You know, when you get older, you get that message, and you go, dang, right, man. You know, and then it blows your mind a little more, you know.
Exactly, and that's, you know, one of the things that I learned, you know, about that kind of writing songs in the key of life, and Donny Hathaway and Stevie Wonder and Curtis Mayfield, you know, these are songs that you grow into and you grow with, you never grow out of. You know, your understanding increases as you get older. But what I loved about the material is that you never outgrew it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That was one of the main things that stuck with me as a writer,
You can tell a story, you can be a revolutionary, you can stir the consciousness, and that it's it could be played today, but your songs would be played 50 years from now and still touch somebody, you know.
Resonate.
Yes. I'm going to play That's Still Mama. Let me talk about that. This is Cody Chestnut, Landing on 100, That's Still Mama.
Church boy, school boy, dope boy. Got a backpack full of time and you don't know why you don't even respect the uncle and the lady that sacrificed her to birth ya.
Hey. No matter how you feel, your blood on the seal.
You can't get through her anyway.
Wow, so many people come to my mind. I have family members, you know, struggling with different things, addictions and whatnot, and then they're, you know, abusing their relationships with their family members, you know, and it's really hard. You know, it's really hard to see somebody you love, like, begging for help, but then abusing the help, you know?
Absolutely.
I read that you wrote this for, I think, one of your family members.
Absolutely. I wrote it for my nephew, who at the time was about 17, and he had just gotten into some trouble. He was in Tallahassee, Florida with me, and my sister asked me to drive him to Atlanta for a court case he had to deal with. And, you know, so as a mother, you know, does, you know, she was right there for him and took care of everything, all the legal costs and everything. And I don't think we were out of the courtroom, you know, 2 hours, and we were back at her house, and he was talking to her and cursing at her and treating her as if, you know, she was a stranger, someone on the street, you know.
Mm.
And it just completely blew me away because, you know, I didn't grow up like that, you know. You never talk to your mother or treat her that way. And I couldn't believe that, you know, he had gotten to that point. Well, he had no regard whatsoever for this lady and what she had just done for him, not all of his life, but even just that, the last 2 hours. And so, you know, I had to deal with that situation right there and speak with him at that moment in time. But also it was so heavy on my heart that I had to write a song about it, and hopefully that song could communicate even more to him than what I did that day, you know, in person. Because I know he's a music lover, and music tends to reach a little deeper sometimes when you're talking to someone face-to-face.
And I
just wanted to, you know, express my disappointment in that song and how I felt about his actions that day. And it turned out, you know, his mother, my sister, you know, when she heard the record, without me even discussing it with her, you know, she said that was her favorite song on the record.
Mm.
And when my nephew heard it, he was convicted by it and felt the need to, you know, reconcile with his mother. And their relationship is much better now, but he's gotten to the point now where he recognized just how out of pocket he was that day.
Yeah. It's hard, though, because, like you just said, you were taught, you would never, I mean, me personally, oh, no. Even rolling your eyes, you know, you know, no way, that was not going to happen, you know, or I've seen kids hitting their parents, younger kids. You know, what happens, I think, is kids see their family being disrespected, their mother being disrespected. They think maybe they can disrespect their mother. And like you said, that there's no regard for all the help, maybe all throughout their life, you know, wiping your butt, cleaning your nose, you know, feeding you, hustling on the street, trying to get you a roof over your head. And they just don't, like, somehow they don't remember, like they have amnesia about all this. And then not realizing that your mom's not going to be here forever.
Exactly.
That's a whole other thing. Your mom is not going to be here forever. You know what I mean? So, you know, let's talk about Trayvon Martin a little bit, talking about moms and sons. That's a son, as far as we know, was not out of pocket, was doing right. And tell me your impressions, because you've been touring and doing stuff. Have you had a chance to process what happened with the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case?
Yeah, you know, being out of the country, you can't really feel the gravity of it, you know, like back home. You know, you get the media's take on it here, but I'm sure back home the tone of it in the nation is much heavier. But to be honest with you, Joy, you know, I wasn't surprised. You know, I was not surprised at the turnout. You know, being that, you know, it started out with them being forced to even to arrest the guy. So, I'm really not surprised at the verdict. But now, with the decision, you know, already on the table, the thing is just what do we actually do? You know, not just, you know, go out and be aimless with our frustration, but, you know, what is the real solution? What is the aim? I hear about the boycotts for Florida and things like that, but, you know, what is the overall objective? What is the lasting and consistent objective? You know, not just, you know, a momentary venting of frustration, but I'm really curious as to, you know, how do we keep this from happening again? You know, what
well, it's a systemic issue.
The law?
Yeah, it's a systemic issue. You got to look at it in a sense of globally. You know, you have the laws that are being made. Are we voting? Are you voting locally? Are you only waiting to vote for the president? You know, are you being the block captain? Like, being proactive. Like you mentioned earlier about grabbing, you know, what it is that you want instead of waiting, you know, for the handout, you know, under a spell of a handout, because they're not going to give it to you. You know, and then we go from, it's not going to happen. The prison industrial complex. We have more people in prison than any country in the whole world. Are we saying that Americans commit more crime than anybody else in the whole world? I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot. But I think the home is important. You know, the home and the local community is key in creating safety and resources and opportunities for the young people, but also enlightening, reaching out to the macro level to break these stereotypes that, oh, there's this young man walking, he's black, oh, he has a hoodie, oh, he must be up to something good, let me go chase after him, even though the cops told me not to, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think.
Which is, in my opinion, that was the deal breaker. I mean, that was an opportunity right there to completely produce a different outcome. But, I mean, we can go back and forth on that for days, you know.
Yeah. I think we have a caller. Let me see what they have a question for you. Good morning. You're calling from 215 area code. You have a question? Oh, I guess they just want to listen. That's okay. Well, I thank everybody for listening. Please follow Cody Chestnut on Twitter, at Cody Chestnut. Also, check out his website, cchestnut.com. I'll be giving away some of his some copies of his album through iTunes. You can follow me at Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Before we head out, I want to play Love is More Than a Wedding Day.
It's more than a honeymoon, more than a good credit score on a summer cruise, yeah. So much more than the tambourine that springs the melodies we love to hear the choir sing. And it's more than ego and me. Love is more than a wedding, more than a wedding. So much more love is more than a wedding day.
Remember when you were talking earlier about the idea for a musical? I totally saw this scene, almost like Dorothy Dandridge and Harry Belafonte on the stage, and a scene with them in this song. But talk to me now. You're in this family man. You have children. Love is more than a wedding day. And a lot of people get stressed just about the wedding day. They don't think about the next 20, 50 years. What have you learned so far? You know, what have you learned so far?
I learned that it's really about the endurance of it all, you know, and being open to the growth process, you know, individually and collectively. You know, it's not a fantasy. It really isn't. It's really about trying to be in touch with your humanity as much as possible, and then your spouse's humanity, and be flexible with, you know, the time and energy that it takes to grow in that area, and encourage each other in that growth. You know, it's communication. We hear it all the time, but you know, you have to communicate. You know, in the most sincere way. You know, you cannot have a lasting and healthy relationship without sincere communication. And I think that's what saved, you know, my marriage and made it last. I'm coming up on, I think, 19 years now married.
Wow, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm continuing to learn, but those are some of the things that I have learned.
Well, yeah, I really wish you success.
Nurture each other's growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think supporting each other's growth is important because people change and grow. They're not always going to be that person that you married that day. You know, you hope to live till, you know, 85, 90, 100. I don't think you're going to be the same. You'll have some nuances, and because you're going to be learning. So, of course, you're going to change if you're constantly learning, you know. So that's great. Many blessings to you and your family. Many blessings to you on the road. Much success with this album and the future of your music. I appreciate you having this conversation with me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you for your time, and thank you to your listeners as well.
Well, you have a wonderful weekend, and again, be safe on the road, okay?
Thank you. You have a good weekend as well. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, peace.
Thank you for tuning in. I just got off the phone with singer Cody Chestnut. Wow, what a powerhouse. What a beautiful voice. I'll be giving away some copies of his album via iTunes. Follow me at Joy Keys. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also follow Cody Chestnut on Twitter. Check him out on Facebook. Check out his website, cchestnut.com. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday. Stay tuned. I'll be speaking with author Alexis Johnson about his book, Junkie Witness, a poetic memoir about his childhood. So please stay tuned for that. Have a wonderful weekend.
It's more than a honeymoon, more than a good credit score on a summer cruise, yeah. So much more than the tambourine that brings the melodies we love to hear the choir sing. And it's more than he's the man in me. Love is more.